Jesus, I ask you for a special blessing for this church, for every member here. Be with them, bless them, give them your peace, your wisdom, your love, and let them as well come close to you each day. Be with their children when they grow and become a beautiful, beautiful people who are characters are shining from them, and people know that they are your children. I ask you for a blessing for all the people who are not here today. Be with them and bless them. Thank you for giving us the Sabbath day, a day that we can come and just start all over. I ask you to be with us. And
my name is Anna Radosz, and we are at New World at the moment. I am responsible for the Polish community in South England Conference. Do we have any Polish people here? No? You're missing so much. So both of us are Polish as well. I've been living here 14 years already, my husband 11, I think, somehow, yes. And I hope that you are all falling in love with your new pastor. Because if not, we are taking her back to Newbold because we still miss her. Pastor Kirsten, she is a mentor and a friend to me, and she was to many people at Newbold. And I hope she will be, or she already is, the same to you. She's a very warm person, very wise as well. So, you know, sometimes it's good to tell your pastor as well, give them some appreciation, because it can get tough sometimes and lonely. I think lonely it's the biggest problem that it's facing the pastor. I want to share with you the story of my friend. She got married, and after 2 years of being married, they wanted to have a bigger family, so they started trying for a baby. And the 6 months passed, and 1 year passed, and nothing happened, and another year came. So they started to go to doctors, and from one doctor to another, and it's not always as easy, because there is miscommunication. And they were trying all sorts of things through natural medicine, healthy way of living, and taking the medicine that they needed. But nothing was working. So they were trying for a baby about 5 years, and at the end they went to this gynecologist in Switzerland. Apparently he was a doctor who was helping women get pregnant even though they couldn't. And they went to him, they paid lots of money to get the visit, and he saw her, he saw the medical record, and he said, well, you never will get pregnant. And while he was saying that to her, she was already pregnant, not knowing that. And she came back, and then she's supposed to fly to Kenya, so she had to have her vaccinations. And the nurse said, well, you need to take a pregnancy test. And she said, what for? I can't get pregnant. And she said, you have to just take it. So she took it, and she found out she's pregnant. So not only they have a baby, no, they have two babies. And they're the cutest babies you ever seen. However, we like to tell those stories. We like to tell stories when we go through the problem, and then at the end, we have the happy ending. But what happens when we can't see the happy ending in our life? What's happening? What's the resolution that when the husband and wife start to fight? And instead of reconciling, they divorce. What if the baby gets sick? And instead of getting better, it dies. Where's the happy ending then? what to do when our happy ending is to know where to be found. And we go through this problem and we can't see the light. We can't see the good thing happening in our life at the moment. And we can't find the happy ending in Psalm 88. If you want to open with me, Psalm 88. And I don't know if you noticed, if you were paying attention or not, it's not a cheerful psalm. It's not a psalm that usually you would read at the beginning of the worship or at the end. I don't know if you ever read Psalm 88 in your church. I don't know if people read it as to give them a support, a cheerfulness, the hope that they need. Did you notice that usually when we have psalm, we have this part of praising God? You know, the author is going through like rough time. There's always the enemies chasing him. He always has this, you know, battle that he needs to win. But he always prays God that whatever it happens, God is with him. He's our, he's his salvation. He will be with him. Usually we have that at the end or the beginning of the psalm. So even though everything is going bad for the psalmist, even though he's alone, even though the enemies are chasing him, he always finds hope in God, and he always rescues him. So we have, I want to give you a few examples, if you forgot, where we can find that in the Bible. So we have Psalm 13, 5 and 6. And what does it say there? But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In Psalm 32 we read, many are those vows of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. In Psalm 145, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 88 is a lament of a person who cannot change his circumstances. It's a cry of a person who had enough of good advisors. Have you ever had them? Like people, they really mean good and they give you all good advices while you are going through something. And they are like, you know what? Everything is going to be okay at the end. But they say, don't worry, God has a plan for you. However, this person in that psalm is saying, you know what? No, everything is not okay. And I don't know if everything will ever be okay. And I can't see God's plan in my life, or I can't see him in my life at the moment. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that feeling in your life? Like you don't know if everything's gonna be okay, because at the moment nothing is okay and everything is going the way that you didn't plan that. You didn't even imagine how bad things can go. And you are just down and you are actually angry. And if you open the Psalm 88 with me, in the verses 10 to 12, what do we read? The psalmist says, do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in abandon? Are your wonders known in the darkness? Or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? This is angry person. This is like, Lord, when will you help me? When I am dead? When you can do nothing for me? When will you come and rescue me? I am calling you as my God. Aren't we saying sometimes, Lord, I'm a Christian, I know you, and everybody else is okay and fine, and I have all these struggles and I have to go through that, and I just can't see you anymore. This person is a depressed person. It's a lonely person. He says twice that all his friends abandoned him. They don't want to even talk to him. You know, when you're struggling with something, that's bad. But when you are struggling on your own, that's horrible. There's nobody to talk to about your problem. However, in all this sadness and anger and disappointment, what does he do? He brings it back to God. He's not letting the relationship that he has with God to disappear. He blames him. He says, why? Please explain me why. When you will help me. When I will see your blessing in my life. But he comes to him. He doesn't shut the door and say, okay, that's it. I can't see your help then. We just need to say goodbye to each other. It's not really working. He comes back to God. How often have you been angry with God? You know, sometimes we want to make this Christianity, we come like, I had a tough week, and God help me. And sometimes this is true. But sometimes we feel like we need to pretend like everything is okay. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be honest with Him. Have you ever prayed? You know, the prayer that only few words are said and usually are, God help. Have you ever had this prayer that you couldn't say anything else? And you pour out all your emotions and your insecurities and your inhibition, and you come and you are so naked and you come to God and say, God, help me. If you haven't had that experience, I wish you will have one day. Because sometimes we need to go so down and feel so helpless to actually understand what God can do for us. If you never had that conversation with God, that you didn't have conversation, it was just a cry coming from your soul, because you couldn't help yourself. Nobody else could help you. Only God could. And this is how we build relationship with God. This is how we build relationship with anyone. If you have a person in your life, it's your husband, your wife, or your child, whoever it is, you have to be honest with them. We can't have relationship based on lies. In Psalm 142:1-2, it's another cry for help. The psalmist say, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him and complain. Before him, I tell my trouble. When you are in the darkness, talk to him. Tell God about your frustrations. Tell him what is hurting you. Because if you can't talk to him now, do we really want to spend eternity with him? If we don't really want to share what's happening, do we really want to spend all those days with him and talk what we will talk about? If we couldn't talk with him here. God wants us to be honest with him. And that's why I like Psalm 109. I encourage you to open with me this psalm. It's so honest that it's uncomfortable, and it's actually funny for me. I don't know if you ever read funny psalms, but I think this is one of them. And we read in from verse 4 to verse 10. In return for my love, they accuse me, even while I make prayer for them. So they reward me with evil for good and hatred for my love. They say, appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand on his right. When he is tired, let him be found guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another seize his possession. May his children be orphans and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg. May they be driven out of the ruins they inhabit. Wow, that's like best wishes card, isn't it? You know, just need signing all the best or with love, Anna. You know, how can you say things like that about any person, you know, wish them that? It's quite a strong message, isn't it? Children to be beggars and wife to be a widow, so he wants him dead. And it makes me laugh because we lost, I think, somehow this honesty with God to say how we feel and to be honest. You know, my husband, he annoyed me so much today, God, I just can't cope. It's not based on a true story, okay? Just saying. But you know what I mean? Like sometimes, you know, I don't know if men do that, but as a woman, I do that. I go to my friend and I just pour everything, you know, what's annoying me. And I just talk, and she listens. And she doesn't give me any advice, kind of, but she is there and just listen. Because men would give advices straight away. But I just want to talk about that and just get rid of me, the anger, the disappointment. And it helps. And I think this is what those psalms were saying. You know, just get rid of your anger. You know, like God said, bring it to me. I can deal with that. The person, they can't deal with that. And you can't deal with that. What will happen afterwards if you put this anger towards this person? But I can deal with that. I can deal with your illness. I can deal with your divorce. I can deal with the death. I can deal with everything. Because first of all, I am God. Second, I am your father. And thirdly, I was here. I know how it is. I know how tough it gets. I have a nephew. He's 6 years old. And, you know, I know that he loves me. You know why? Because at that age, it's hard for them to pretend if they like you or not. You can straight away see if they like you. So I know he loves me. And I'm his only auntie, so he doesn't have a choice. So this happened a year ago. We went for a walk with my parents, my husband and Charlie. And it just stopped raining. So there was a water and all the trees and all the leaves. And we were walking and having fun. And I said, Charlie, just stand, you know, under this tree. And he straight away done it. So when he done it, I just shake the leaves. And all the water came on here. So he like starts shouting and run away and start laughing. And it made me think that if I told him, Charlie, go under this tree, and I will shake the leaves and you will get wet. Would he go there? He loves me, but he's not stupid. He's 6 years old. He wouldn't. And I think sometimes it's like that in our lives, that God knows that it might rain in our life. Sometimes it's rain and you feel like it's flooding. But you know, He knows when to tell you to go away, and He knows that you will have a story to tell after that finish. You will have a story that might change your life. You will have the story that might change other people's lives. You might have a story that is actually your salvation story. That without this rain or without this flood in your life, you wouldn't have the happy ending. And in Romans 8:27-28, if you want to open with me, there are those nice verses which say, "And God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And now the text, verse 28. "We know that all things together work for what? For good. For those who love God, who are called according to His purpose." You know, we might not have happy ending all the time. We might not have everything that we wish. You know, I was telling the children's story about the, whale shark. I was crying. You know, I was like 2-year-old girl who is like selfish, just thinking about what she loves. You know, like, I was like, "God, why you gave me the love for sharks? You know, why? Of all the troubles that I can worry, I was worrying about this one." And I was like, "God, why? Why you gave me the love to sharks and now I can't see any sharks? Like, everybody else saw it. And I didn't. And I loved them." And every moment like that, if it's a silly moment or a moment that you can't stop crying because there is so much sadness happening, it changes us. It teaches us humility that we need. The thing that I wanted to say is pray for good friends. Pray for friends that when you can't pray, they will pray for you. Because sometimes when you can't pray, you feel so empty. There will be people who will pray for you. And you will feel that. You will feel that there are people who are praying. You know, those kind of friends that you don't really need to say why you need those prayers. That you say, "I am really going through a tough time, I'm really down, I need your prayers," and that's it. And they pray. And this is what bringing us closer together to each other and to God. We at Newport, we started the prayer groups, women's prayer groups. And we started with 10 people, and we are meeting on a weekly basis. We are using Skype. And then on a monthly basis, we have a face-to-face meeting. But when we first started, people started to share and stories that you would never think that's happening in a Christian homes. Stories of abuse. Stories of different kind of abuses. Stories of depression. And you think, wow. Sometimes you think, I am not the only one struggling with something. We are all struggling with something. We all go through a rough time. That's why the only thing that is stopping us from madness is God. It's a prayer to God. Because we are weak, we learn yet again that we are not able to rely just on ourselves, but we need Jesus. the only unchangeable thing in our life is Jesus. And I wanted to close with Timothy Keller. Quote, "Our Christian hope that we are going to live with Christ is a new earth where there is not only no more death, but where life is what it was always meant to be."